Good News in the Morning is sponsored by Good News Christian Ministries and has been broadcast weekly since 1999. Do visit our website, gncm.ca. Here you will find podcasts of the programs and introductions to the Ottawa pastors who deliver the good news to growing numbers of listeners worldwide and need your regular prayers. And now, here is today's presentation.
The Lord be with you. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. When Jesus was 12 years old, they attended the festival as usual. After the celebration was over, the family started home to Nazareth. But Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents didn't miss him at first because they assumed he was among the other travelers, playing with his friends and boys. But when he didn't show up that evening, they started looking for him among their relatives and their friends. And when they couldn't find him, they went berserk. They went back to Jerusalem to search for him there. 3 days later, they finally discovered him in the temple, sitting among the religious teachers, listening to them and asking questions. All who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. His parents didn't know what to think. "Son," his mother said to him, "why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been frantic, searching for you everywhere." Jesus replied, "But why did you need to search? Didn't you know that I must be in my Father's house?" But they didn't understand what he meant. Then Jesus returned to Nazareth with his parents and was obedient to them. And his mother stored all these things in her heart. Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and all the people. This is the gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts present be worthy in thy hearing. Amen. I was troubled by this passage because while I've read it 100,000 times, I couldn't get a message. I couldn't get the gospel, the good news that I could share with anyone specific today. Great story, incredible story. We know that the scriptures have just told us this is all about the family business. This is what I, after reading it, I'm reading it and reading it. Jesus says to him, "Why would you look anywhere else than in the temple? This is my God's presence. I would be about my Father's business. I'm 12. They didn't understand. The family business. God started the family that we're in here. We look at it in Genesis. Very beginning, God created you and I. Every being ever created has been created through him. We are all God's children. The time had come, however, for God to come as Emmanuel. God with us. It was a wonderful day when Mary and Joseph held Jesus in their arms. An incredible day, punctuated by a bunch of dirty shepherds rushing into the door. "We've seen all light. There's some stars out there. You know, angels have come announcing that you're having a baby, and you're just right there." That's what he said. "Look for a baby in swaddling clothes, looking for them. And you're there, this little baby." And they came in and rejoiced and joyously said, we're going to tell the world. And they rushed out and told a lot of people in the Bethlehem area that the king of the world had come in the form of a baby. So this morning, we look at the scriptures and we discover he's 12. Now, he's not bar mitzvah yet. He's got a year away from being bar mitzvah, which makes him technically, in the Jewish tradition, you know, a man. Now, they really don't let him come become a real man where he can start making his own choices, you know, whether he's going to have soup or sandwiches until he's 20. Right? He's still under the family rule, more or less, if you're living at home, until you're 20 in the traditions of the day. But when you're 13, you're bar mitzvah. It means you've now been able to take on God's plan for you. It's wonderful. When you're in Israel, by the way, it's just shocking. If you haven't seen it before, around here we don't see many bar mitzvahs. When you're in Israel, it doesn't matter what day of the week you go there. At the Western Wall, there's a bar mitzvah going on. There will be three or four going on at the same time. The place is so big that you can look over there and there's a family all celebrating, and they got their balloons, or blue and white balloons, you know, for Israel. They're just celebrating like crazy all over the place. Over there, over there, over there. On any given day that you're there, it's a shocking thing to discover. Bar mitzvahs are wonderful. Well, this hadn't happened yet for Jesus. He's just a year away from that happening. But it will happen. That little boy that was 11, then he becomes 12, and now he comes to Jerusalem. We know from scriptures that the Jewish people were told by commandment that you will attend three festivals a year in Jerusalem, where the temple is. That was the rules. Feast of Tabernacles, Pentecost, and Passover. In order, probably Passover would be the big one, and it was one we understand that the people did come from great distances, if they could only make one a year because of the distance. And certainly I would think Mary and Joseph would fall into that category. If they only made one, they would make the Passover. Sort of significant, as you know, because Passover is where Jesus is now, talking to those teachers of the law, learning from them at 12, raptly involved with them, asking questions. And I wonder, it's so beautiful when you read the scripture and it says, and even the teachers were amazed at the things he asked. 12. But he's about the family business. He knows who he is. And I suspect he's a little bit, if you take that reading of Luke we just read, well, why would you be searching for me, Mom? Right? Like, you know better. You know who I am, Mom. You know, you really do. And hey, Dad, you know who I am. Why would you be concerned about where to find me? A little different. If my son had said that to me, I probably would have clubbed him on the butt. But, but in Jesus' case, right, there's no question in my mind that he thought it was a little surprising. Mom, you were there when the shepherds came and the angels talk, you know, like, what's going on? You were there. Do I have to remind you? Sort of. It sounds a little bit arrogant in the way I'm sharing it. I don't mean it to be that exactly. But there's a tone of that. If you read the scriptures, he thought, surprise, surprise, why wouldn't you expect me to be here? I think there's also another surprise. He's 12. So instead of telling his mom and dad, you know, I'm going to linger longer here at the temple, if you don't mind, for 3 or 4 days. I'll find my way home. It would have been nice, wouldn't you think? As a mom, you'd like to have known that you had other plans than what they had. But he didn't. Sounds to me like a son. Sounds like a 12-year-old boy making decisions that maybe weren't all that good at the time in relation to, you know, the concern of a mom had. Her first words out of her mouth, by the way, right, was, what are you doing to me? To your dad? Just a little trivia question. If you want to win a contest on this, it's a good thing to know. Maybe you know it already. The first words that Jesus ever spoke. Do you know what they were? Verse 49. We've just heard it today. I must be about my Father's business. No, nowhere in Scripture, nowhere in Luke, nowhere have they ever seen Jesus talks about anything until now. And the first words out of his mouth, I'm about my Father's business. You know, when you think about learning the family business, well, he has an earthly father too. And what do we know about Jesus? We understand clearly that he was known as a carpenter, a trait that he learned from his father. So Jesus and Joseph were a family business, and he learned how to do things. And I suspect he was an excellent student. My dad was an upholsterer. He expected my brother Chuck, when he was about, probably about 12, no, actually younger than that, because I had to go in there about 8 or 9. So probably about 8 or 9, my dad expected my brother Chuck to come home from school and work in the shop, cleaning up the place, you know, for all the upholsterers. We had 7 upholsterers working in the place, and we had to go in and clean up. And then when it's my turn, about 7 or 8, it was expected. Like, we're not going to argue about this. You're going to come home and you're going to help. Yeah, but I want to play baseball afterwards. Come home and clean up. You know, it was rules, right? The family business required that I learn to live on certain ways and standards. I think Jesus also had to learn a lot of wonderful things with Joseph. As a carpenter, he, among other things he would have learned, I suspect, was how to build some farm implements. It wouldn't surprise me that that would be a role that he might have played. Some implements that are important. And the reason I say that is when you study the scriptures, as you all have, you noticed that he uses examples all the time about farming, about the weeds and the snares and the seeds. You know, there's so many passages. Now, where would Jesus have learned that if he worked, you know, in a town, wouldn't be necessarily exposed to farming, but he was. It wouldn't surprise me in the least that he would be sent out there with his dad and his other brothers and maybe a few of his sisters to go out into the fields at harvest time to help out the farmers that Joseph knew. Go out there and help them out. They need help right now. Got to get, you know, make hay when the sunshine. You know, don't let it rain on that hay. Father's business. The family business. So, I think sometimes we need to look at this passage and wonder if we're about the family business. You're a child of God, a brother or sister of Jesus Christ himself. You're an heir of the kingdom. Everything God has is yours. In peace and joy. So how good are we growing the family business? I understand, I really do, that Mary and Joseph kind of maybe got lost after 12 years. That little baby needed to be taken care of like all little babies do. And he would be cantankerous at times. He would do things probably he shouldn't do. He would, you know, come running into his mom. Mom, I hurt myself, and there's blood everywhere. I think we all have stories of that type. I think it's quite reasonable to say that Mary kind of got hooked up on being the mother of a guy named Jesus, his son, her son, not necessarily the Son of God. Does that make sense to you? Is it possible in the 12-year window? Or did she just sit there and say, well, you know, he's Jesus. He'll take care of everything. The Messiah. We know that. He's the light of the world. Could you imagine if you're a woman that you would have ever been quite indifferent to your child? My wife at Christmas time took our daughter, who was about 3 and a half, and Ryan, you would have been born, I'm almost sure, about that time. So I suspect you were with a babysitter named Donna. Donna Kemp, my brother's wife. I think they were involved in that. But anyways, Mary Jane wanted to go to Yorkdale, which was a brand new place in Toronto on the 401. She wanted to go and experience everything they said about it. You know, like they got big Christmas trees that are magnificently lit. Glorious place to go. They got Santa Claus, and he can sit on his knee and you can tell him what you want. So Mary Jane took my daughter to Yorkdale. I remember working. I was working at corner of Shepherd and Kennedy. Not far, actually, really, from that location. So anyways, there I am, discovering a frantic wife on the phone, describing how terrible a mother she is because she had lost her daughter in the crowds of the mall. And they were busy, right? Christmas week, Santa Claus, all the people, brand new mall too, so that's kind of cool in the days when malls were important, you know, fancy, neat spots. But apparently, Lara was right beside her. She always kept saying that. She's right there, right? And she turned to look at something herself, maybe, I don't know, who knows, right? She was looking for something, and she looked. Got absorbed in the look, and when she turned back, Lara was gone. 3.5 years old. Well, she went crazy, as anyone would expect. She looked around the obvious spot. She couldn't go far. It wasn't just seconds before she was right here. Well, Lara had her own minds. She wanted to go find Santa Claus, and she took off through the crowd, running through them. Adults everywhere, and this little girl, probably about your daughter's age, Grace, probably. And needless to say, she didn't know where to go. So she ran finally, after looking everywhere she could. She went up to security people and said, "Would you please find my daughter?" They said, "Certainly, we are familiar with this challenge." You know, and so they announced, you know, "Please look for a little girl," you know. And just got it out of the over the things when Mary Jane stumbled on Santa Claus, and there was my little daughter standing in line. So she called frantically while I was at work to tell me this situation. Our daughter's been saved. You know, my daughter never knew she was lost. You know, didn't have a clue that she was lost. How many people don't know that they're lost? How many people don't know the message of Jesus Christ significantly born in a stable as the salvation of the world? The scriptures were fulfilled on that wonderful evening. And today we come to discover, 12 years old, he is now acknowledging his understanding of where he's going. I'm here to learn in this temple from teachers. And I have a place where I can ask questions and get things clarified. Well, we have that facility here at Eternal Hope. That's what we do. We share, we talk, we have experiences, we have good people who can share anything. We have Bible studies. We read the scriptures. We do a ton of things. Before COVID, there was at least one activity every fall and at least one activity every spring that took us into a deeper understanding of God's love for people. Whether it was a case for Christ, whether it was an alpha course, whether it was a case on creation. You know, we were busy all the time in this church. We will go back to that. You don't need any prognostication, but I do believe that this COVID thing is over. We can talk about all we want, but it's getting less and less and less. More and more people are getting it, and less people are being affected by it. Our immune systems are working. God's created them. So I do believe we're going to get back. So part of the message, I guess, would be saying that each of us here are in the family business. God's your father. Jesus is your brother or your sister. You know, you need to know the truth that we have a role to play here in this community. You are going to be the spark plug that could bring the gospel to people that never, ever heard it. And that's my wish and my prayer for you members of Eternal Hope. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in. If you've been blessed and encouraged, do tell your friends about this program. Feel free to send in questions and comments via the website gncm.ca. And be sure to share your good news if you've come to faith through listening. But the program on its own is not enough. Don't forget to join other Christians in worship in a church where the gospel is soundly proclaimed and where it is lived out with compassion, integrity, and resolve. May you come to know Jesus Christ personally and profoundly. May the Holy Spirit reside deeply within your heart, and may you feel our Heavenly Father surrounding you with His constant, abiding, and accompanying love.